We're live. Tonight we're looking, I didn't think we were just going to be covering the seventh day on this night, but we are. Because I started out looking at it and thinking, well, we'll be done with the first three verses. We'll be done with that in about 5 minutes. Well, didn't work out that way. So we're going to spend some more time in it. But before we get started, let's ask the Lord to teach us, because that's where it comes from. Our Lord and our Father, as we gather here tonight to look into your word, to read it, to study it, to learn from each other, we ask you to teach us. We know that's where our learning comes from. It comes from you. And we ask you to teach us. And we ask it in Christ's name. Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, I looked at this and I thought this is going to be real quick, but I've got it down. I've got it narrowed down. It's going to be somewhere between 20 minutes and an hour. Okay. I think somewhere in there. Anyway, you read this and you think, well, okay, he had already completed the creation and he's done. And he says he's done four times. He says he's completed. He's finished four times. And it says he rested three times. Right? And you think, well, that doesn't take very long to say that. Then he says he blessed and sanctified the seventh day. So let's read that, see what he said. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And I think I've got this thing adjusted down a little bit. All right. So, done, finished, complete, over. There's no continuing creation. Creation is done. God didn't continue creation into the seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, or whatever days. That doesn't mean he can't work miracles of creation, such as, you know, the turning water into wine. That's a miracle of creation. That's turning something. Yeah, the molecules were there. There was material was there, but he changed it into something that wasn't in there. The molecules that make up wine are not in water. They have to be changed. They have to be changed by something, right? So, no continuing creation, no evolution. There's no room whatsoever for evolution in any of this. In the 6 days of creation, so many people are trying to explain those 6 days by natural processes, naturalistic processes. We see that all the time. And it's with even the creationists that are old earth creationists use. You end up seeing some of that in there too. Some people deny that. Some agree with it, right? The 6 days of creation are not explainable by natural processes in any way on no day. None of the 6 days are explainable with natural processes. They just don't happen. They certainly don't happen that fast. They just don't happen. Life doesn't come from nothing. Even plant life, what we call life, and God doesn't come from nothing. He had to make it. And he did. So there's no other explanation for that. We could spend a lot of time looking at evolution and how things are supposed to be coming about, but no. Creation is really the only explanation with any of that. So we look at it, and he calls this a day of rest. A seventh day, I've got a mistake on your outline. If you look at there at the transliteration of the word seventh, under B1, seventh, it says she'i, or explicitly she'i. They left the B off. Look at the two Hebrew letters in there. It's a shin bet. So the B sound goes in there. I missed it. So it got deleted sometime when I was editing it. But anyway, that's the way it's Shebahi. And it sounds an awful lot like rested, Shabbat. That's the word that's used in here for rested. And then that, when we get down to Sabbath, Shabbat is seven. Shabbat is Sabbath. Sabbath actually means to cease or rest. And when we get down there, we'll spend some more time talking about that. But the seventh day he completed his work, he rested. Listen, he didn't rest because he was tuckered out. God was not tired. Yeah, he just made a small universe. It's 26 billion light years across, whatever it is. But he could have made a universe for every molecule he had in there and not be. He could have done that in a femtosecond and not be. Not using any appreciable portion of his power. You understand that? When you say all powerful, unlimited power, no limits whatsoever. Right. But he rested, and he rested as, just as it says there on your outline, as an example to man. We have to rest. We do. And it was important to him because he took and blessed that day and sanctified it, set it apart for a holy purpose. As a matter of fact, in the ESV, that word sanctified is translated holy. Right? So he set that apart as for a holy purpose. And we're going to look a little bit about what that purpose is, but day of rest. And the week, that 7 days, that makes 7 days. On the seventh day, the cycle starts again, right? We start back off on the first day. So the 7 day week is spread throughout the world in cultures that we hadn't even made contact with before. You go into the New Guinea hills or whatever else, and you find cultures that have 7 day weeks. If we've tried to get away from it at various times, by we, I mean the human race, has tried to get away from it at various times in the past, where probably the most notable is Russia in the 20th century, because they wanted to do away with anything that smacked of Christianity whatsoever. They were an atheistic country, and that's what they wanted it. They tried 5 and 6 day weeks. It just didn't work for them. Didn't work at all. Exactly why? Don't know. That's not built that way. We're built for a 7 day week. Ancient Egypt, they tried 10 day weeks. That didn't work for them. All of them, Russia, ancient Egypt, everybody's ended up going back to a 7 day week. And not just because they're the only, that's what everybody else in the world is doing. That wasn't true in Egypt. I mean, they didn't have that much contact with others. They could have seemingly done a 10 day week, but they didn't. A 7 day week. All of them returned to that. So we come down to the Sabbath. Now, the word Sabbath doesn't appear in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But the reason we're going to talk about the Sabbath, and we're going to spend most of this time talking about the Sabbath, is because this is the basis for the Sabbath. And we'll look at that, the Ten Commandments, right? And some other scripture. And also because people have a lot of questions about the Sabbath, always. What's the day we're supposed to observe the Sabbath on? What's the day that we're supposed to do this? What's the day we're supposed to do that? The New Testament writers had to deal with that all the time. I mean, look at that. The Jewish culture was built around, well, all the 613 commandments, statutes, and ordinances. That's what they called them. The Ten Commandments is kind of a summary. It's a short list. There were 613 commandments, statutes, and ordinances. So that was part of their culture. The Sabbath day was part of their culture. The Lord had to deal with that all the time. What are you doing on Sabbath day? You're supposed to be doing that. Then he explains that. And we're going to look at all that tonight. So the first appearance, let's go and look at that. The first appearance of the word is when they're in the wilderness. And really, they've just gotten into the wilderness. By they, I mean the people of Israel, the sons of Jacob, the descendants of Jacob, right, who was Israel. So in Exodus chapter 16, they haven't gotten to Exodus 20 yet, so we're not to Mount Sinai. We haven't gotten the Ten Commandments yet. This is in the wilderness, and they're getting used to eating manna, right? Food provided by the Lord. So Exodus 16, verses 22 through 30, and I usually get a few verses on either side of it, trying to put things more in context, exactly what I want to look at. So some of these are kind of long, but I think it makes it interesting when you can see all of it. So verse 22, we're in Exodus 16, verse 22. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. That's the first time you see the word Sabbath in the scripture. Sabbath rest, kind of like saying rest. It's a Sabbath, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink. You understand that's different because they, when you carried it over from one day to the next, it ended up with stinking. It had worms in it and everything else. Didn't last. But on the seventh day, it did. Okay. Nor were there any worms in it. So then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather. That's us, right? as human beings. Because we get told not to do something, we're going to go do it. Well, some of us are anyway. But they found none. They were told they wouldn't find any, and okay, we'll find out. But there weren't any, there wasn't any. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That's an important phrase. For the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rest on the seventh day. Now, when you remember back when we were looking at the verse itself, they said he blessed it, the day, and sanctified it. Blessing, you know, we can bless God. God can bless us. There are two different things. When we bless God, we are worshiping and praising him. When he blesses us, he does something for our benefit. I guess what he's talking about here, when he set this up as a seventh day and as a rest day, it was an example of a rest day, he was blessing us. And as it says, he gave it to us. He gave it to man. He gave the Sabbath to man as a day of rest and a day of worship. Remember that day. And you remember him in the creation and everything that he's done. Okay. So they rested on the seventh day. Then we continue on to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 through 11. And this is the fifth commandment. This is where he actually makes it a commandment. Observe this. Remember in verse 8, Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. You get the idea? Nobody. Nobody. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So he's referring right straight back to Genesis chapter 2, the text that we're looking at. That's a direct referral to it, and that is the reason for establishing the Sabbath day for the Jewish people. For Israel. Okay. So this is what they were used to doing, was observing that day. That day, the seventh day, Saturday. They were always every Saturday. They didn't call them, like they called it Saturday, whatever. But they had every seventh day, which was a Saturday. They observed it, and they had all kinds of little rules and regulations. We being people, it kind of reminds you of Eve. When she said, oh, we're not allowed to eat it. Well, I can't even touch it. We got to make a lot of extra things to go along with it. No, just pay attention to what he says. And it's never just a cut and dry. You can do this little thing, but you can't do this little thing. He's looking at your heart. What is it in your heart? He wants you to sanctify that day and remember it, remember him and what he's done. Do we do that? Being human beings, mostly not. Is blessed that day and made it holy and sanctified it, set it apart for a purpose of God. And it is set apart for a purpose of God. Now, you remember we talked before, when we talked on the fourth day about the seasons, the Moad, right? And we looked at Leviticus 23 and the feasts. If you look at Leviticus 23, you go back and look at it again, it says in... Let's look at the first three verses. Leviticus 23 in verses 1 through 3. And all this scripture I'm reading to you is New King James Version. Everything was New King James Version this week. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, holy gatherings. Right? These are my feasts. They're not your feasts, they're his. Right? 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. This is the first of the feasts, really. The seventh day. Every week. Every seventh day. It's not the only Sabbath day. Realize all the feasts fall on a Sabbath day. Because it is a feast, it's not on Saturday or whatever. It falls on whatever day it falls on. Remember, that's determined by the moon. And the time of year, and whether they put an extra month into the year or not. They're all Sabbath days. The Passover is a Sabbath day. The Pentecost was a Sabbath day. same with the fall feast, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement. Those are Sabbath days. Let's go on and look at Mark. The Sabbath was instituted. We saw that in Exodus 20, and we talked about the feasts. Let's look at Mark chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. You get a little bit better look at. This is the Lord talking. But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him?" Now, he's just been accused of violating the Sabbath. Right? He violated the Sabbath. Oh my goodness. Verse 26, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some of those who were with him. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." The Lord had to deal with these misconceptions, misapplications of a commandment of the Lord, an establishment of a holy day for the Lord. He had to deal with that all the time. And he's pointing out, he tells you why, therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was made for man. Really, even David receives no condemnation for going in and eating the showbread, and he wasn't allowed to do that. But he needed to. The Sabbath is made for man. It looks like a rule you can bend sometimes, doesn't it? As long as he keeps the day and remembers the Lord in it and keeps it sanctified in his heart, he's observing it. Not following some little rule somewhere. Now, the Sabbath was never meant to be a set of unbreakable rules mindlessly applied, certainly not as expanded by the authorities. And they were expanded. I mean, they had volumes, literally volumes of little rules, right? Was how much ink you could carry on a Sabbath day and how much you could do with that. I mean, if you carried more ink than that, then you're doing work. If you carry more than an ounce or whatever it was. If you carry more than enough to write one letter or something, whatever it was, however they said it, that's not observing the Lord's day. That's not it. Do it here. Okay. Keep it holy and sanctify it. The Sabbath, the seventh day. You know, David and the Lord, they did. They kept that day holy. Now, in Romans, it kind of sits, I think it sets to rest the argument over, well, is the Sabbath day on Saturday? Should we be observing that? Should we be meeting on Saturday? Should we be meeting on Sunday? What's the Sabbath day? When is it? What is it? How are we supposed to be doing all this? And in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 6. Now, this is Paul dealing with problems that he's got in the church. And you know he's going to, or he said, this is a cultural thing with the Jewish people. They are used to this. They are used to having a Sabbath day and observing it all the time. And he's trying to, the rules changed. Things changed because the Lord came. And he changed some things. Right? In Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 6, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. What's that talking about? Your conscience. Be convinced in your own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. It's all to the Lord. Get that. He who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. Days, food. Paul was dealing with a lot of different things. And matter of fact, the early church had just dealt with so many things. Huge transition. Huge transition. Here, he tells us, it's not a special day of the week that must be observed. It's not. Not Saturday or Sunday. Either one. But give God thanks. Remember God. Give God thanks. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, it says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival of a new moon or Sabbaths. That's getting pretty plain, isn't it? Let no one judge you concerning Sabbaths. A festival of a new moon. Remember, we're talking about the feast there, which are all determined by when the new moon occurs. Which are a shadow of things to come. We've heard that before too, haven't we? When we talked about the feasts, the appointed times, the holy convocations, the times that are set aside for us to meet with God, for Israel to meet with God at the time that they were given. We said they are all foreshadowing something of reality that is coming. Passover, the yearly slaughtering of the lamb, the yearly raising of the lamb, keeping him in your home, and the sacrifice of the lamb, foreshadowed the actual sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross at Calvary while the lamb was being slaughtered in the temple at the same time. Happened at the right time. All of the feasts happened at the right time, on the date that they were supposed to, and the reality happened on the day. The Pentecost happened on the day of Pentecost, right? First fruits happened on the day of first fruits. The Feast of Unleavened Bread happened during the time it was supposed to happen. And the fall feast will happen on the day that reality will happen on the day that's supposed to happen. But the point of it is that for each one of the festivals, for each one of the feasts, for each one of the appointed times, there's a foreshadowing of it. And there's a reality. The real thing. The real McCoy comes. And that real McCoy is much more important than the foreshadowing. So this verse in Colossians, these verses in Colossians, says, don't condemn based on a day of the week or a festival or the time of the year. These are but shadows used as a foretelling of the reality to come. The shadow is no longer needed. The reality is Christ. In every instance, reality is Christ, or something about Christ. Well, Pentecost is the giving of the Holy Spirit, but Christ made that possible. So, the significance of the sanctified holy day of rest. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's start off in chapter 3. I'm backing up a little bit. We're looking a little bit extra. And this is talking about in 3, verses 16 through 19. And understand, verses 16 through 19, that's the end of chapter 3 in Hebrews. It continues directly into chapter 4. So this is all one big text that we're looking at here. All right. The failure of the wilderness wanderers, the people who were wandering in the wilderness and they just failed. Now, we say they, but it could very easily say we. Don't look at them as somebody that, well, they really should have known better. Well, we should know better for a lot of things that we do, too. We're not any better than they were. However, if you have faith, that makes all the difference in the world. So we're going to look at this. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They simply didn't believe him. So they couldn't enter into his rest. And that's what the seventh day is about. Rest. God's rest. He didn't need rest. We do. We need rest in more ways than one. We need physical rest. Yes, you have a 7-day week. You've got Sunday. 7 day at most. I mean, six days to work at the most. We typically don't do that. It's a 5-day work week here. Typically. Well, unless you're a ranger or something, in which case you work 7 days a week sometimes. I know we did that a lot in the Navy. But they couldn't, since they didn't believe, they couldn't enter the promised land. That's the rest that this was talking about. The rest here is entering into the promised land. They were kept out for 40 years while the generation died that wouldn't go in because of unbelief in God and him telling them to go in. They were afraid. Right? They didn't believe, so they didn't get to enter the promised land, and that's the rest that he's talking about here. We're starting to see some parallels now with us. So let's keep going. In Hebrews chapter 4 now, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, remember that's because of what we just said. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. You don't want to come short of this rest he's talking about now. You don't want to. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The gospel even does nobody any good unless they believe it, unless they exhibit faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, atoning death, and his resurrection. Right? For we who have believed do enter that rest. If you believe, you enter that rest. What rest? Well, we'll get to that. Rest of salvation. As he has said, and this is from Psalm 95:11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The work had all been done from before the foundation of the world. But they couldn't, people can't enter the rest without faith. For he has spoken, we're on verse 4 now, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And we know where he's speaking from, what that certain place is. This is Genesis chapter 2, the text that we're looking at tonight. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. That's exactly what it says. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. That's God talking. They shall not enter God's rest. What was God? God rested from work. That's what it said. He rested from all the work, all the creation, everything he had created and made. That's work. Right? Since, therefore, we're in verse 6. Keep all this in mind as we keep going. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it. Some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. That's what it said at the beginning of that. For after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today. Not Saturday. Not Sunday. Not any day of the week. Not every day's life. Today. And really, when I hear that, what I hear is not even today. It's now. Now. Not an hour from now. Not later this morning. Not tonight. Enter his rest. Now. Now. For if Joshua, we're in verse 8, for if Joshua had given the rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You understand what he's talking about? What works have you ceased from? If you enter God's rest, what works have you ceased from? Pastor, nod his head. You cease from the works of trying to justify yourself. You're not going to get there. Give up on it. Faith in Christ's work on the cross. He paid the debt. It's done. You don't do anything for it. You rest from your works by entering into his salvation. And that makes that day Sabbath. Well, sort of. We don't need a Sabbath day anymore. You're in Christ. Every minute is a Sabbath. Every minute is the time that you remember what he did and that you rest in him. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. But if you don't enter it, if you don't If you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you haven't entered it. It's kind of how you tell, right? And he's saying, be sure of it. Be sure that you have entered into his rest. And then you don't need to worry about Saturday. Is it Sunday? Should we be meeting on Saturday or should we be meeting on Sunday? Well, the early church met on Sunday, but they didn't meet on Sunday because it was the Sabbath day. They met on Sunday because they were remembering that that's the day that Christ rose from the dead. Right? And that's what we do. We're kind of commemorating that day. Right? It's not even all the days the same. It's not even today. It's now in Christ. That's salvation. That's God's rest. Once you enter into salvation, and yeah, I know it. Yeah, it gets complicated because your salvation was determined before the foundation of the world. And yet, you still have a transition. You have a time in your life when you're born again. When that happens, you will have faith. You can't tell the difference. Let me tell you that. You inside you cannot tell the difference. You make a decision, and it's to trust Christ, and that what he did is paid your debt. That's you. That's what you can tell what's inside. And we're human beings. We have limitations. That's one of them. Right? Yes, we can look at the word and see what the reality is. But you must exhibit faith. Put your faith in Christ. And our faith goes up and down, doesn't it? It's not just rock solid. We can never be moved. We're not the rock. He is. So it's all right that it's not all right, but it's all right if your faith goes up and down. It's going to. You're a human being. Always come back. Always remember that Christ is your rock. That's where you come back to every time. That's salvation, and that's God's rest day. We're in it. You're in it because you're saved. You're not saved. You're not resting yet. Not resting yet. Let's go back to the Lord. Lord and Father, how can we thank you for what you have done? We praise you for who and what you are. You are the God of the universe, and we've looked at your creation, and it is, yes, it is incomprehensibly awe-inspiring. And we remember what you've done. We thank you for Christ paying our sins on the cross, and at the end of that 3 hours, saying again, it is finished. More so than it was at the seventh day. I think it was harder to redeem us than it was to create us in the first place. If anything is hard for you. But we thank you for it. And we thank you for the rest that we have in Christ. Now, while we're resting in Christ, take a hose of us and get us to go out and get busy in our Father's business. While resting. For we know we can ask that in Christ's name.
Get done.
Yes, ma'am.